Can you believe in a finite object possessing infinite power? Or that a mineral can be proclaimed the medicine of the 21st century? Or that the power of nature can win over the ignorance of man? If you can, you will know why our mission is to get shungite to the masses. You are entering the shungite zone. This is the Shungite Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio and simulcasted over Hagishat Radio. Welcome to the Shungite Show. It's April 16th, 2019. My name's Nancy Hopkins. This is a production of Cosmic Reality Radio, and that's my alarm telling me I have to start a radio show. Okay, so Derek's not here. Nobody's here except me. What happened was that I got up and was doing my thing and never looked at my phone, and there is a message from late last night. So, like, maybe 5 minutes ago, I find out that Derek's not, well, they were up until 4 o'clock their time, so he's not going to be on. But not to worry. I'm going to put on a show. But what I'm going to do, I was on, I think it was April 7th, with Solaris Blue Raven on Revolution Radio, and she, I don't think she put this up as a YouTube, but I was really good. what I did was I recorded it as I was doing it with her, and it was just one of those shows where it really flowed. I mean, as far as being a guest, I was a really good guest for Solaris because she didn't have to say anything, you know, that kind of thing. I just was into my groove and doo-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. So anyway, I've got that. It's a good show. And I do talk about the shungite. And so what I'm going to do, because I'm really not prepared to do 2 hours by myself, to be honest with you, is I'm going to play that. And it's a little short. It's like 15 minutes short of the 2 hours. And when, so after it, I'll come back and I'll say bye to you. All right, so without any more whatever, I'm going to start this up. I hope you enjoy it. Seriously. Hi, everybody. This is Nancy Hopkins. Last night, which was April 7th at midnight, I was on with Solaris Blue Raven on Revolution Radio. This is my tape of that session. We'll see what happens with her side. She didn't sound so good on this tape, but I did. So I'm playing it for you guys. Be safe. Be blessed. Have a good day.
Okay, I think we're live. Good evening, everyone. We didn't hear the intro here, but I know it was playing. Anyways, hello, everybody. Welcome to Raven Stars Witching Hour. I'm your host and head witch, Miss Solaris Blue Raven, at the helm this evening. I want to give a shout-out to everybody here at Revolution Radio, staff, producers, listeners, chat room. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in tonight. We are 100% listener support, so if you like what you're hearing, click the donate button. We appreciate your support, and thank you for any contribution you can make to this excellent station here at revolution.radio. And for $5.95 a month, you can access our archives and purchase our archives, if I can spit that out, which is an excellent deal. For the many shows and variety hosts you can access, so consider supporting the station by signing up for the monthly archives here at revolution.radio. And for the $100 donation, you can get the Jumbo Emergency Survival Seed Pack. That's non-GMO, non-hybrid seeds, 34,500 seeds. Awesome deal. Well, go ahead and think about doing that. Also, my most recent book, 1 Million Miles to Midnight, is available for purchase on Amazon.com and Kindle, so pick up your copy today if you have not already. I also have a Patreon page started. Each week I'm putting out videos on Patreon called Cosmic Chronicles. So if you want to tune in, go ahead and sign up. And you are listening to Studio A. I have an excellent guest for you all this evening. My special guest this evening is Nancy Hopkins. And Nancy Hopkins is a researcher, author, internet host, radio host, producer, and owner of Cosmic Reality Radio and the Cosmic Reality Shungite Store. As an U.S. Army intelligence officer, Nancy was trained in concepts of the electronic battlefield and electronic warfare. where EMF and Wi-Fi frequencies are critical components to war. It took decades to realize electronic warfare was also being conducted on the U.S. civilian population. From spying on everyone to attacking the population energetically with a telecommunication network, there has been a silent, invisible weapon unleashed by the financial-industrial complex that is either doing it with purpose or just does not care about the health consequences of their actions. And end result is the same. The ongoing sixth extinction event, where collapse of the insect world will take with it its civilization as it is, as it is known. I think there's a typo in there, but it doesn't matter. But Shungite has demonstrated the ability to save the honeybees. It can also stop nature's destruction by human technology? Nancy will be sharing her journey in understanding the seemingly magical Shungite and its demonstrated potential to save the bees and other insects to stop the total collapse of civilization. She has an awesome website. I'm sure everyone's familiar with it. It's cosmicreality.net. And please welcome Nancy to the show this evening. Good evening, Nancy.
And good evening back. Thank you very much for being here.
Yeah. Oh, it's wonderful for your to hear your beautiful voice, and I'm just really happy you're on board tonight. So thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
It's nice to hear you. Yeah.
And this is Revolution. Hello, Revolution.
That's right, Revolution Radio. Yeah. And, of course, we didn't hear the intro, so but we all know we're here.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's saying hi in chat there. So you have a lot of fans in the chat room, by the way. So that's always interesting and very happy.
I'm
happy
a fan
to see
of
that.
The station, so.
Yeah, excellent. Well, it's interesting. You know, I look at the Shungite, and I've been kind of tracking insofar as the people, and a lot of people have been asking me about Shungite over the years. Seems like it's been escalating. Insofar as it's, you know, it's becoming more popular. So why don't you just fill everybody in for the people who don't know the origins of Shungite and how it all came about?
Okay. All right. I'm going to give you my take on Shungite and my group's take on Shungite is different from what you most people will, you know, initially get into about Shungite. The stuff that you initially hear is not wrong. It's just not the way you should be looking at it. Mm-hmm. Because they're looking at it as a 3D mineral. The way we look at it is it's a 3D mineral, but it's an object that has infinite power in a finite object. It's the energy of this specific type of this. The only place you can get it in the world is in Russia. Now there's people out there that say, well, you can get it in Ukraine and Kazakhstan. No, there is a composite, it's called a mineral composite, in Kazakhstan, Ukraine, and maybe some other places that's similar in makeup to Shungite. But the difference between Shungite and anything on Earth that would have been created with the same chemistry is that Shungite came from someplace far, far away. And a long time ago it started out. And it came through the cosmos. And it picked up the energies of the cosmos itself. And when did it get here? 2.5 billion years ago. And it smacked into an area now called Karelia, Republic of Karelia, part of the Russian Federation. It's about 1,000 kilometers, 800 miles square. It goes down about 200 to 400 feet, and it's just been laying there in the midst of an area with tremendous number of lakes, and two of those lakes are the two biggest lakes in Europe. The lakes that are associated with the Shungite are pristine. They're pure. You don't have to do anything to them. Forever and ever, they've always been pure water, and that was the key to the local, let's say, appreciation for what they had there, in that they just put a straw in and suck. Water's always going to be pure. Mm-hmm. But by the time you get to the Emperor of Russia, Peter the Great, he's also begun to hear about the healing aspects of the waters. So he sent his two physicians it's called Shungite because there's a small village called Shunga. Right there. That's why it's Shungite. That's why there's no place else in the world with Shungite. It's the deposit of this mineral composite of different minerals all mixed together. I call it like a stew. Mm-hmm. And in the middle of this stew is carbon. Carbon's the number one ingredient. And in the carbon, there are what are called C60, you also get C70s, which are just different. It's a molecule of carbon that essentially shouldn't be on Earth. It shouldn't be created on Earth because it needs the environment of a vacuum to and powerful energies to be able to create it, and that's in outer space. I'm talking about the fullerene now. Mm-hmm. In 1989 is when they got it, but it really, I think that the experiment was in 83. Some Americans, two Americans and an English guy got together, and they decided to try to find out what kind of molecule would you get if you were in the vacuum of outer space. And out of that, they found the C60. And it's called a C60 because it's got 60 carbon atoms. And those carbon atoms are in a pattern, a geometric pattern that envelops itself, and it creates an enclosure. It's like a soccer ball, and that's what's mm-hmm. different about the carbon molecule. It actually became a new category of carbon molecule, along with graphite and diamond and carbon itself. So you've got this ball now, and it's the most perfect symmetry in that these 60 molecules are in the shape of a soccer ball, and the distance between every 60 of the 60 carbon atoms is exactly the same length. So what happens, and this gets you into quantum physics, but basically what happens is that energy follows geometry in the way that we're talking. So the energy flowing through this geometry, 60 points on this geometry, it hits each other and balances out, creating a null point or a zero point. And when that happens, you open the door to the quantum field.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the quantum field is 90% of everything that is. All that we think is real is only 10% of the actual energy that is creating the reality of our universe. And it's the quantum field where everything originates from. The proto-energy of the 3D world is contained in the quantum. So this little, well, it's not a little molecule, it's actually a rather big molecule. This molecule has completely stood all sorts of different scientific modalities on its head, because every time they try to test it, it seemingly doesn't do what they think it should do. It does something else. And mm-hmm. so from the scientific standpoint, they've been confounded by the thing. But that's because they went at it, looking at it. Now, we're talking Western, not so much Russia. They went at it, looking at it as chemistry, as matter, you know. Mm-hmm. We went looking at it from a different aspect, and for, you know, a few decades now, I've talked about a science I call enterology, which is a combination of metaphysics and quantum physics. And so if you look at the universe as an energy universe, then everything makes sense regarding Shungite, mm-hmm. because it's an energy field. And just to get the deep appreciation for what the molecule that C60 is, it is rotating 20 billion times a second.
Mm. Wow.
That's because it's being fed with the energy of the quantum field. So all of the seeming magic that happens with Shungite is actually scientifically can be discussed.
Mm-hmm.
When I first got involved in this back in 2014, I have the ability to see at the molecular level. I actually see what's happening molecularly. I didn't mm-hmm. know this was some kind of a something or other. Walt Silva's yeah. got some thing. When I was telling him about it, he's going like, "Oh, you know what that is?" And I'm going like, "No, I don't know what that is. I just see it, you know." And he explains it in some Eastern philosophy that I don't even, you know, remember. Or maybe I didn't even follow him quite, because he's mm-hmm. rather amazing. Anyway, so what would happen is that I would see energetically what it was doing. And then I would say to Walt, I'd say, "Walt, this is what I'm seeing." And Walt would say, "Okay." And then he would create an experiment at the material 3D level to confirm or say, I can't see it. I can't prove that that's what you were actually seeing. And mm-hmm. so that's how we began to develop different products, because once he saw that, oh, yeah, oh, my gosh, okay, all right, got it, you know, and he could prove that what I was saying was creating a difference in the 3D world, then we would make products to harness the energies that we're seeing and what was happening. Mm-hmm. And what shungite does is it purifies water. It takes toxins out of the air. It takes toxins out of the soil. It is being used with some crazy manipulation in Fukushima to clean up the radiation, because it cleans up radiation. There's all this seems like preposterous, except if you go back to the science. And what's happening is that the shungite, with these little C60s and other things happening, the cosmic energies in it, okay, begin to put out an energy field that is simply more powerful than any other energy field. You know, within, mm-hmm. unless you're talking plasma and stuff, but, you know, the basic energy fields, it's much stronger. So what happens is an electromagnetic wave hits it, and the electromagnet, and this is what's really kind of, Walt thinks it's a conspiracy. I think they were idiots, ignorant people, who designed the electric system so that when they did the first wiring, they wrapped it in a certain way. If they had reversed that wrapping, it wouldn't be hurting us. But mm-hmm. they didn't. And so everybody else has wrapped it the same way. So what happens is that the signal that's coming off of the electronic system, the technology, you know, of the 4G, we're not talking 5G, we're just talking 4G here. Mm-hmm. When you've got that signal coming out, it's rotating in a way that is opposite the way your cells are rotating. So it's like two tops coming together, and the top that's the more powerful one is going to either stop, or in the case of shungite, it's so powerful that when the electromagnetic or Wi-Fi signal enters the shungite field, it's reversed. It's called attenuation. It's mm-hmm. it's absolutely reversed, and it's pretty near instantaneous that this happens. And the cell phone now, your computers, everything, they're working better because they're working more efficient, because they're working in the rotational field that is this biosphere's preferred way of operating. Mm-hmm. So, but you don't have, there's no blockage, there's no absorbing by shungite. If it was, you would have a situation where your phones wouldn't work right.
Mm-hmm.
Your computers wouldn't work right. Instead, it puts it into a more efficient field, okay? Now, and a field that is now biocompatible. It's not, mm-hmm. that field is not hurting you because of the way it's spinning. Unfortunately, it's still a massive amount of unnatural energy that you're being hit with, okay? Mm-hmm. But yeah. Luckily, shungite not only will reverse the field, but when you take it and you wrap wire around it, you have now engaged the orgone field. Orgone follows a wire. So the wire has got the energy of orgone going, and when you wrap it around a shungite nugget, what you have happen... Dog, would you please stop? Get away from the door. Somebody's <outside. laughs> And I'm going, what are people going to think that noise is? And I said, well, I better talk.
My dog's over here.
Oh, my God. He's so funny. But when you put the wire around the nugget, then the orgon field is moving through the shungite field. And it's now become an energy device, a shungite energy device. And that field is like it's like a resonator signal of your all your bioelectromagnetic energy fields. And it's so powerful that your entire bioelectromagnetic fields that have been put out of balance because this unnatural amount of energy go back into balance. So even though you are getting hit by an unnatural amount of energy, shungite can also balance you back out.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah.
Let me just run through this another 2 minutes here so that
sure.
we'll finish this discussion of why it works. So when you've got water and you've got toxins in the water, toxins are another thing that rotates in the reversal of biocompatibility. That's why it's toxic. So when it gets into a shungite field in water, what happens is that the molecules of toxins, I'm talking, you know, your heavy metals, your chlorine, the whole chemistry of chlorine, virtually all of the chemistry that you get when you get really toxic water, the molecules that are toxic hit the energy field of shungite, and they attempt to do the same thing, reverse. Mm. But these are molecules, and when they start to turn, they start to lose what's called the molecular cohesion. When that happens, all the atoms just fall apart, and you have no more toxic molecule because it's all in atoms. Mm-hmm. And that's why shungite devices that clean water, you know, like a, you know, your Brita thing, if it was full of shungite, or, you know, an in-pipe water purifier, all that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're using carbon, it gets gunked up and stinky because it's being absorbed. But when you have shungite, that never happens because it's being transmuted. The molecules are actually being, you know, changed completely into atoms. And that's the basic science at the bottom of everything that shungite does.
It's amazing. You are the master of shungite. You really know your stuff. I'm so impressed with your knowledge base. When it comes to shungite. I'd like to listen to you for hours on this one. And I want to say, it's interesting. It's what I've noticed with shungite for myself is that it also is very good for grounding. It really is. I've noticed that it just kind of, it almost feels like it places an envelope around my field. So that's what I've noticed with it.
Well, yes, and that's exactly what it's doing. Because like I say, especially if you're wearing the wire-wrapped pendants, it's creating an energy field that just keeps balancing you out. It
like
resonates
that.
With you. And this is just a kind of a, that when they first started doing the long range space travel, when they had they weren't going any place, they were just going around the Earth. But the Russians in particular, their cosmonauts were going up and they were trying to break, how long can we stay up there? And they kept going longer and longer. Well, at the time I heard that the cosmonauts were coming back mentally deranged, and I thought, oh, this is just bad press, you know, like it didn't make any sense, but it turned out to be true. And the reason for it was that, and you know, I mean, they went through all sorts of, is it the radiation, is it, you know, all the things that could have been, but what it turned out to be was that the Earth has a bioelectromagnetic field, and when we were born to be in it, and if you take us out of that bioelectromagnetic field, what happens is that the brain gets all screwed up. And I actually heard that there was a murder on board a spacecraft between two cosmonauts.
Wow.
Whether or not that was true, I've never seen it confirmed. But I mean, that was how severe they were coming back, mentally damaged.
Wow.
And, what happened out of that was that now every manned spacecraft has what's called a Schumann resonator. And it puts out that bioelectromagnetic energy field of Earth in the spacecraft so that the mind and the body doesn't deteriorate.
Nice.
So, yeah, we are energy bodies. That's
all. No doubt. And you know, coming with your background with electronic warfare, which, of course, you know, I've had my taste of interface with artificial intelligence, so I have to ask you, what is your impression of shungite and its effect on possible implants or people who are targeted with technology?
Well, when I first started getting the shungite out there, somebody who is one of the best, let's say, empath psychics, healers, I mean, just an amazing person, the first thing that happened to her was she started to get these little, it looked like pimples, but then they would pop. And she knew intuitively and because of what she was looking at that these things were implants. And then I'm telling a friend of mine, you know, about these things, and she doesn't really believe a lot of what I say. And so she gives me that squirrely eye look, you know, like, yeah, you're crazy, right? And then about half an hour later, she says to me, you know, I've got the strangest thing on my shoulder. And she said, can you take a look at it? It was right on the back, you know. And I'm looking at this thing, and I'm going, well, that sounds just like what Jean told me they look like. And, you know, I said, da-da-da, and she went, oh, my God. You know, it was like, so maybe some things can be expelled because you're in a different energy field, and they just, you know, they're not, you know, like anything else. It's a toxic thing. Get it out of here.
Right.
I had a guy just recently, this last week on Facebook, saying he was a targeted individual and would shungite work and stuff. And the truth of the matter is that shungite is not designed to stop or block a signal. So shungite's not going to do that. However, shungite will help you maintain and gain stability and balance so that you can then kind of like see your way through this, because a lot of I think you call it artificial telepathy, okay? I call it electronic intrusion.
And, well, yeah.
You know,
too. Definitely.
So people get these thoughts in their heads that aren't theirs, but they don't realize it because they don't know who their authentic self is. And it's really gaining a foundation of who are you, because as soon as you start to address your own authentic self, then when you get these signals in, you know, all of a sudden you're going like, where the hell is that coming from? That's not me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
And so now you have the ability to shut it down. That's just the mechanics of what happens. But shungite has got, let's call it shungite metaphysics, okay? Because shungite has a sentience to it. Now, by sentience, I mean that there is some conscious level of shungite that goes beyond any mineral I have ever encountered. I've been in the mineral business for, you know, 40 years, which is one of the reasons that, you know, I was chosen for this mission. And the shungite itself is, I was probably chosen for the mission and then trained in the minerals. I might have got that wrong. But the shungite itself, every single piece of shungite, from the minuscule powder, a fleck of it, to boulders of it, they're all linked to that mother field in Russia.
Wow.
And I tell people, I say, don't worry about how many fullerenes are in the shungite, because it's a whole package. It's different than anything. If I've got a ruby in my hand, you know, a ruby is going to feel like a ruby is going to feel like a ruby. Yeah, there'd be differences in energies depending on where they come from. But when you got shungite, on top of it feeling this connectedness to this mother lode, each and every little piece seems to have its own little kind of sentience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's different. That's different than what anything I had really encountered, was this seemingly ability for the shungite to work with human thought. And, you know, in this complicated but simple structure that we call, you know, life, I said originally that energy follows geometry. But what starts it all out is a conscious thought. You can't have manifestation without thought. And so in the initial beginnings of manifestation or creation, you really do have a situation where thought, energy, is creating the geometry of manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So when you're working with the shungite, it's pulling in all of this quantum field energy and works with your mind. And your mind is saying, I want to have a new table. Okay. So your mind is saying, I want to have a new table. And the shungite, with this connection to the quantum field, feeds that thought. So when you start playing with shungite and you're doing it, you know, with an open heart, because shungite will not play with darkness.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you start to go off kilter into an energy that shungite will not respond, I'm firmly convinced that shungite will not turn on even if the person does not have a particular heart frequency.
Oh, nice.
I've seen it happen. You know, this stuff doesn't work for me. You know, and you feel it and they've got a dead heart. They can't even turn it on.
Mm-hmm. How does it turn on?
You tell
in your
it to.
Opinion. Okay. Yeah.
Well,
is it a frequency or is it a feeling? I've noticed that, you know, it's always really cold for me when I get my shungite. It feels really good and cold, and it holds that. I don't know if that's a frequency to me, but it feels really nice. And that's something I attention.
Yeah, the cold is part of the, you know, when it's turned on, like the shungite spirals that we have. Mm-hmm. You absolutely can feel them turn on and off by how cold they get. Mm-hmm. And we've measured it. It's like, you know, a whole degree of Celsius difference.
I love it.
So
yeah,
that's one of them. But basically, if you start to work with the shungite, the metaphysical aspects, see, this is the beauty of shungite. Well, it's got a lot of things, but this is the most important part, is that it's teaching us about energy. Mm-hmm. You know, we think, oh, maybe it'll do this and then it does that, but we, you know, I mean, it keeps teaching us more and more about the energies. The where it's taken Walt Silva, devices that he's developed, that nobody knows about except me, and I think sometimes only him, because every once in a while I say, well, what if we did this? And he goes, oh, I already did that, and he shows me what he's already made, you know?
Awesome. So, yeah, he makes some cool stuff. Well, you have a lot of that on your website, right, for Cosmic Reality Net, or no?
Yeah, oh, yeah, and Walt has his own website. It's called New Paradigm Tools, plural.
I love it.
NewParadigmTools.net, where he can actually work to build somebody something that's specifically for them.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't tell people that, because then he gets all busy doing that and he's not doing my
stuff. That's good though. Oh, that's good. I mean, in a sense, he's needed. That's obvious.
Oh yeah.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Especially now. So yeah.
Yeah. It's there. Yeah. It's a totally. It teaches us about energy, but it does so much more, because now we have a way. I say that Gaia, I believe it's a gift from Gaia. I actually believe, you asked me where it came from to begin with. I think it was a thought. I always, you know, you can't have manifestation without a thought. And I believe that this biosphere has to have something to manifest it, and that's a creator consciousness, and that's Gaia, what I call Gaia, Mother Nature, if you want.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that Gaia was, you know, going through the evolution of just a life force, and she went from, you know, this gas and this stuff in the solar system, and made a little planet, and now the planet's got, you know, it's all hot and bubbly and everything, and it starts to cool, and then you start to get, you know, pockets of this stuff they call water, and so, you know, I mean, she's every level is a new level of consciousness. And she got to a point where she said, I'm going to build something that is much grander, but how do I do that? Well, my feeling is that impulse on from a creator God called forth from the center of at least this galaxy, maybe, I mean, this galaxy, maybe the universe, I don't know where it started, but at least this galaxy, the center of it, the movement of this carbon sheet of energy that picks up all this other cosmic stuff, and it bangs into Earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in this area, which we now call Corellia, is the first vestiges of life. They want to say that shungite is something that was created with the normal, when you get vegetation that's going into muck, that becomes oil, becomes coal, becomes, you know, I mean, that whole theory. And that just doesn't fit in any way. But they're saying that because the first vestiges of life were in this area. And I'm going, well, then doesn't it make more sense that the first vestiges of life came with a shungite?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because shungite has every element of the periodic chart of elements in the shungite mother lode bed.
Wow.
Everything that makes everything in the 3D biosphere of Earth is in shungite.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that in of itself is stunning.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, and then, you know, the world sits on for 2.5 billion years with some people knowing what it was. Peter the Great, he started making his soldiers take shungite nuggets and putting it in their canteens so they'd always have fresh water.
Wow, yeah.
He built a spa right there on the lake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
definitely therapeutic, no doubt about that.
Yeah.
And people still do it today, you know. That's what the beauty is. You can, and I was talking about the honey. I don't know if we got into that a little bit, but the shungite honey is very impressive too. and how you're actually working to save the bees. I think that's fabulous.
Well, I've been concerned about the bees as anybody should be concerned about the bees. But because I understood, see, back, I was in the military, and but I was also a remote viewer. And well, we got plenty of time. What time is it?
Yeah.
Let me tell you a story. I don't normally tell the background of this story, but I'm going to tell you. So I had just gotten out of the military, because I figured if I didn't get out, I was going to be dead. That was just, you know, one of those weird things that was happening. So I got out of the military, and I was having a terrible time adjusting back into civilian life, because I was in a reality where, you know, all sorts of things are happening, and then I get into a reality where they're concerned about, you know, money and honey. That was it, you know, talking about honey. And I was just having a, you know, they were so delusional about what was real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had no clue how many times we had come to almost a nuclear, you know, exchange with in that time, Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the stuff that I had learned, because I was uniquely qualified. Again, it's like my whole life was designed to teach me certain things. And I was, I had a minor degree in Soviet studies out of the University of Massachusetts. And when I got into the military, which was presumably so that I could be trained as a drug counselor, that was, they had the best drug program. The only drug program anybody knew was in the U.S. Army. And, I was, you know, slated to go in to really be part of that so that then I could go back and teach it at the university and make new programs of how to help people, you know, with the drug problems. But no, they saw Soviet, and they didn't have anybody that was looking at the Soviets. They'd all been looking at Vietnam. So the next thing I know, I'm in, you know, it's like the NSA of the Army. It's called the Army Security Agency, the super spooks. And they were all electronic warfare and all this, you know, this stuff. But it was because of my ability to, well, I'd already written the tactical, the program of instruction on Soviet and Warsaw Pact tactics and conventional warfare. And then I learned electronic warfare. But to get the information I needed, I had to get very, very high up in the ranks, intelligence, you know, the top secret was, I was way, way beyond top secret. I virtually had access to places that very, very seldom people do. But again, it was because of knowing about the Soviets. You see, these Russians, they all my life, they've been after me. So when I get in the military and I start looking at the Russians, I'm the person that's looking at the Russians to find out what their capabilities were, you know, and what they were finding out, you know, normal intelligence gathering stuff. And all of a sudden, I got into seeing something that confused me, because the vast majority of the very most sophisticated intelligence gathering operations of the Soviet Union were not looking at the U.S. military. They were looking at the U.S. economy, its finances, the industry. And I'm going, like, why are they looking at that? You know, so then I turned around and I looked at what they were looking at. And that's when I was like, oh, my God, this is not good. By that time, I already knew who had killed John Kennedy. I knew it was the same people. I just didn't realize that they were that it was so ingrained in the entire system. It was systemic, you know. And anyway, like I say, my path changed drastically after that, because I knew too much, you know, and somebody near me got into problems because they knew too much and they had told me, and that was part of why I got out of the military. But I get out of the military and I'm having a hard time adjusting, and I said to this, I was working in a restaurant as a waitress. I said to this girl, I said, I need to find a psychiatrist that also understands psychic abilities. And she said, Well, a friend of mine is that. I said, what is what? She said, well, you know, a psychiatrist. Blah, blah, blah. And so by, and she made an appointment for that afternoon for when we got off of the, you know, restaurant. Mm-hmm. And we go over and I walk in, and as soon as I laid eyes on this guy, because one of the things that got me so high up in where I went in the military was I am a remote viewer. And so I was spying on the Soviets using remote viewing, but then manipulating intelligence agencies to go back and look at certain things so that I could say, see, they found this. I knew it was there. I just couldn't say, well, I'm a remote viewer. I was just there. I can tell you what they're doing. You know? Yeah, that wasn't going to work. But as soon as I got in and saw this man, we both went totally telepathic. And I'm going like, oh my God, who is this guy? And he's going, oh my God, who's this, you know. And so we're having a strange kind of telepathic communication while we're still trying to deal with this friend of mine, ours. And so finally he said, this isn't working. He said, how about we make an appointment, you come back tomorrow alone. And I, well, that works for me. So I go back, and he was so befuddled about my complete ability to connect with him telepathically that he just, you know, said, why don't I know you? And I said, because I'm not part of your group. Because who he was, and this is why it got so intense with us, is that he was one of the people that working in the remote viewing the paranormal agencies of the U.S. Army. The ones that they kill goats, you know, that movie talking about the same people. He was on sabbatical. They would kind of burn out and they'd send him out into the real world, you know, get yourselves taken care of. And that's where he was in the real world, quotes. Mm-hmm. And he meets me. And so now he flat out told me, he said, you're the strongest telepath I've ever encountered. And he said, are you that good as a remote viewer? I said, well, that's why you think you know me, because I couldn't find out anything from you guys in normal channels. So I just remote viewed you. And, you know, he was like stunned that a remote viewer could actually target their own organization. So nice. he said, will you do some, can I test you? And I said, sure, sure. So he starts pulling out these pictures of different things, and I'd say, oh, that's a, it was mostly electronic devices and equipment. And I tell him what it was, and then he shows me his picture. I said, I have no idea what that is, none. And he says, well, do you think you can do it, will you do a remote on it? And I said, well, I haven't done a remote in, you know, months. I don't know. I don't. And so I said, yeah, okay. You know, I should have argued, but I didn't. And so about 3 days later, I woke up in the morning, and I'm going like, all right, let me see if I can get this. Now, what I was doing was I was using the image that he had shown me as an anchor. And you basically just think of that image, and you draw the image towards you. A lot of people think remote viewing means that you leave your body and you go someplace. No, that's not the way it is. If you're doing that, you're astral projecting. When you're doing a remote viewing, it's like you're in the middle, you know, those old wooden wheel things, you know, on wagons? It's like you're in the hub of it. And all of these different spokes are like timelines. And they can be in the future or the past. And all you're doing is you're going, okay, I want to see that. And you bring it into you. You bring the situation into you. You don't go to it. You just bring it to you. And then it's in front of you. You can read it. You're in it if you're good, you know. So basically doing the remote viewing was using this image as an anchor to draw that thing towards me. So I could see what it is. You know, it's some kind of a piece of electronics that they apparently didn't know what it was. But when I started the intrusion into the area, all of a sudden I encountered a fear like I wouldn't even imagine that fear could get that deep. And also I kept seeing SWAT stickers all over the place. And immediately backed out of the remote, you know, and I'm going like, oh my God, what was that about? You know. So I tried it again, same situation. And then I tried it a third time, but not, it was like that next day. And it was sort of like, I started out, and as soon as I did, it was like, boom, right on me. And so I said, okay. So after that, I decided I wasn't going to try it again. And I called this guy, and he answered the phone. He sounded really kind of a little shaky. And that put me right on edge, you know, like, what's wrong? I could feel it. And he said, mm-hmm. You did a remote on that, didn't you? And I said, yeah, but I couldn't get through. And he said, I need to see you, but I need you to be careful getting here. Mm. Okay. So I leave the house, and I almost got creamed by a traffic accident, but I saw it happening before it happened, so I didn't go through the light. And if I had gone through the light, I wouldn't have gotten there. But anyway, mm-hmm. I did get the warning. I didn't get in the accident, but now I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do? And I get to his place, and it's an apartment. It's just an apartment building. And he is got all these boxes. He's packing up the place. And I said, what's happening? He said, everybody in the world has been called back. And I said, why? He said, because you tried an intrusion. And he said, you were so powerful, you spooked them, because what you were after is the key to a system. And then he proceeds to tell me what this system is. And he said, all over the world, psychics, known psychics working with the secret psychic organizations in different countries, NATO countries, they'd been attacked by a DEW, what we would call DEW weapon. And remember, this is back in 76.
Oh,
and
wow.
So when you turn one of these things on, what you're trying to do is you're trying to match the bioelectromagnetic field of the person you're targeting. So if you're dead on, what happens is that they basically go into a burst of flame and gone. That's it. Because you caused a breakdown in their molecular cohesion in the body instantaneously. It's the way that Jesus scorched the Shroud of Turin. Another story. But if it's off a little bit, you can just cause them to physically have a heart attack or, you know, somehow physically die. Some people got completely mentally deranged. But there was dozens of them. And he himself had gone into the hospital and was comatose with no reason. And he had virtually just gotten home before he got my telephone call. And, I said to him, well, okay, so you guys are all going back because I've scared him enough to use some terrible machine. And he said, yes, that's exactly what happened. And he said, but I'm going to tell you something more. And he proceeds to tell me about this machine and what they intend to do. And he said, it will be disguised as a communications system. It will be put up all over the place, and it will eventually be at a level that they can control humanity by, like, their robots, because they're into their brains, into the electromagnetic operating systems of them. And if they don't like you, they'll just, you know, take you out as a group or take you out individually. Mm-hmm. And I got really angry. I mean, I was, like, really, really angry, and I'm going, like, well, if you guys know this, why can't you do it? Do something about it, right? And all of a sudden, he looked at me, Solaris. It was like this guy looked at me and looked inside my soul. And I got into a telepathic connection to him. And the next thing I knew, I was out in the stars. Because he was an ET. Mm-hmm. You know, in looking like a human being, working, you know, infiltrated the higher echelons of a very, you know, secretive organization. And he looked at me so, with love in his eyes. You know, I mean, it was this love impulse I got off him. And he says to me, we can't do it for you. You guys have got to do it for yourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was like, well, what am I supposed to do? And he said, read the book by Berlitz called The Philadelphia Experiment. And I actually had that book in my library. I just hadn't read it. And when I read that book, it opened up the whole concept of psionic warfare and mind control and energy and enterology. It all just opened up a whole different research, you know, thing. But my point is that for 43 years, I have watched them build this thing, and now they call it 5G.
Wow.
Yeah.
And yeah, we can get into that too. We're going to hit a break in a few minutes here, but yeah, it's interesting you're describing that. You know, some of the interface I've been through in 2004 sounds very close to some of that nefarious programming. So very interesting. No doubt. Up to no good. You have an impressive background, I'll tell you what. Did you keep your clearances? Were you able to do that?
No.
If I can ask you.
Well, after I left active duty, you play a game with them. I went into the reserves. And so I was in the reserves for another 8 years. And I held because these were all crypto clearances and stuff, you know. At that time I was like a top secret that I was holding.
Very cool. Well, you're pretty interesting. Yeah. Well, you never lose that spook. I mean, that's always going to be there, you know. You know that.
Well, I think like one.
That's why
I like you.
Every
once in a while I'm going like, no, wait a minute here. Let me look at this, you know, and it's the intelligence officer coming out, you know, let me look at this. Let me see the pattern. What's happening? Who's doing what, you know? And
I like that, though.
I call it the spider instinct.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd love to. You never put a biography out on you, did you? I mean, I know you're working on a book with Shungite, but have you ever thought about that?
Well, I've written two books on, I published them on one cover, but it's called the John Kennedy Jesus Christ Connection is book one.
Right.
Two is Down the Rabbit Hole. It's under the title Cosmic Reality. But those books are autobiographical, but they're focused not on my personal life, but focused on the path to learning, you know, and how it all unraveled. How did I know about John Kennedy? Who killed him? How did that happen? How did I figure out the occult connection of the Nazis long before anybody else did? You know, it wasn't, I'm not bragging about it. I was trained to do this. This is why I came here, you know.
Right. And, but you knew that before you were trained in the military, right? Sounds like you had all the answers.
It was simultaneous, but no, a lot of it I knew. I mean, I knew a lot about the Kennedy thing way before I went in there, but understanding the deeper aspects of the deep state. You know, you wanted to think it was just a bunch of, you know, like sort of the just a few bankers, a few industrialists, a few CIA. You know, not a whole organization of just control. You know, that worked in unison. It wasn't just a few. They're all involved in it. Not that they all know about the planning, but they all will cover it up, because if you don't cover it up, you will be covered up in a grave.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to understand the full implications of, you know, that real, it's basic evil.
Mm-hmm. They are evil.
It's sociopathic and it's psychopathic. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't care about people, and they don't care about society. It's something that I hope I never really understand, because I think then I would be too close to it.
Right. Well, it seems to me like they are deranged. Like something happened, and they just got completely scrambled. When it comes down to their behavioral patterns, and, you know, you don't just get crazy. I don't know. It's just interesting that some of these people seem to be really just beyond insane, that they're deploying a lot of that stuff.
Because they're controlled.
Mm-hmm.
They themselves.
Right.
Mark Steele from England, who's one of the biggest outspoken people about 5G, is one of these people. He's got a lot of patents. He knows the science. This is what he does, right?
Hang on for a second there. Nancy, we're actually hitting a break. We can't tell, but the music is playing, so we're going to head for a break. And we're listening to Radio Star Switching Hour. I'm Solaris Blue, and my wonderful guest tonight is Nancy Hopkins. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Okay, I think we're back. Welcome back, everybody, to Raven Star Switching Hour. I am your host, Solaris Blue, and my awesome guest tonight is Nancy Hopkins. Nancy, this is a wonderful show. I'm so happy to have you on board tonight. You really are a specialist when it comes to Shungite and so much more. I know we were touching on the craziness of these people, and it just seems to me like, so you're correlating the 5G insofar as their future agenda, or the agenda that they're here right now to deploy on the timeline?
Well, okay. What happened was people started to wake up. Now, it's not like the let's say the deep state knows something less than what we know. We know that there is a consciousness change in humanity, this DNA change in humanity. We're in a section of the universe that has a tremendous amount of excess energy that we normally are not being engulfed with. And that energy is causing all sorts of DNA upgrades, spiritual upgrades, all sorts of amazing things at the level of the animals. Animals now are showing changes. So they're afraid of us waking up, because the only reason that the dark state is in control is because we said they could be.
Right.
Yep. They had to have our agreement. And because we weren't saying no, we were just not engaged in government and all that other stuff. Corporations took over the governments. There are no governments per se. They're all corporacies. They're masquerading as masquerading as democratic countries or let's look at that. A democracy, okay? What is a democracy? A democracy is a concept of a society working with the idea that everybody should protect the rights of the individual, because then everybody's protected. When you're talking communism, you're talking that it's one for all. The one is not as important as the all. And, you know, people argue which is the better way of philosophically going through life. But the problem is fascism, because fascism means all for the state.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in our case, what happened is that corporations and big bankers took over the mechanism of the government of not only the United States, but all over the world. And the funny thing is that, well, we say the ship of state, right? The ship of state. Well, mm-hmm. that means that the ship is dominant over the people. And when you have that kind of a relationship, then it's a fascist environment, because it's not the people that are being protected by this government. It's the government is protecting itself. Fascism.
Mm-hmm.
You saw fascism in Germany, in Italy, in Japan, and we, you know, 6 million people died trying to stop these fascist governments. But what happened was, at the end of the war, the fascist organization was already entrenched in the United States. And I can delineate all of the things, the gold standard, the, you know, 1871 when they gave D.C. to the bankers for the money to rebuild ourselves after the Civil War. You can see it all happen. It's plain mm-hmm. as day. But it's the idea that after the German, you know, war wasn't working out for these people. They simply took all the scientists, 20,000 people disappeared after the war, many of them scientists, and some of them came here and some of them went to Russia. It wasn't 20,000 of scientists, it's probably around 5,000 that we're talking about, but then there was another 15,000 of the Nazi German fascist organization that disappeared. They integrated themselves into the United States. And the fascist organization then just, you know, became solidified within the octopus kind of structure of what we think is government, but it's really this corporate entity. And, the United States, if you go, there's a Dunn's number, which is a stock number for the United States, and if you look it up, it tells you that the United States is an organization whose job is to execute the federal government of the United States, that the number of employees are exactly the same number of employees of the federal government, and that the chief executive officer would now be listed as Donald Trump. Everybody knows it's a corporation.
Mm-hmm, right.
Everything about it. You can't deny it, and they're out in your face.
Yep. Yeah. Agreed. So that 5G, then what is the motive behind that? Obviously, is it just to trash the DNA or the brainwave activity of the mass collective, or what's your take on that?
Well, Mark Steele is from Britain, and he is, like I said, he makes patents. He knows this. The technology very, very well. And the town next to him, Gateshead, had these LED streetlights that were put in. And on top of them was an odd antenna. And Mark's looking at it, and he's going, that looks like it's a micro, well, he would have said millimeter antenna system. And so he began to sort of keep an eye out on it. Well, he's still, you know, in the business, but he's watching this now. And then he starts getting reports, because he's a neighbor of these people, of people's kids having nosebleeds, of a lot of miscarriages, a lot of people. There was the 20% increase in the number of normal death by stroke and heart, and it was, you know, 20% more in the short period that these LED lights, which in and of themselves are a problem, but that they've got this 5G antenna on them. And so he then begins to take meters and meter the amount of energy coming off of these things, and realize that these frequencies were beyond the accepted healthy norm. They were beyond standard. And so he decides that the city council, or the, yeah, I guess it was the city council, didn't understand the dangers here. So he goes before them, and he starts to try to tell them, and they label him a crackpot and a conspiracy buff, and they wouldn't let him present his information. That got into a weird situation where the same people who wouldn't listen to him in, you know, a government setting, you know, the people supposedly leading this city, ended up in front of his property. And he's a little bit pissed off, so he gets a little angry. And they called in the cops, and he was arrested for harassing them, or I don't know what the technical terms were. And then he got before a judge, and the judge wouldn't listen to him, and the whole thing was such a setup, it was obvious. And so he got, you know, a criminal thing against him. I forget what it was that they actually said. But then he gets before another judge to see if he can appeal this. And that judge is sitting there, and the prosecution is saying the same BS that they'd said before. And so the other judges had dismissed Mark's credentials, the pile of papers that he says, I'm telling you what this is, you know. But that judge didn't. He said, look, I'm going to, you know, stop the court. I'm going to go look at these papers. And when he came back, he told the prosecution, you consider him an expert witness. All right. So that seemingly set it up so that he could, you know, now get rid of this. It wasn't jail time by that, but it was a heavy fine. And he went back, and the same thing happened. It was a different judge. So you have some judges that are actually pure-hearted. You know, they're probably caught in the system, but so much of the governments and the whole structure of everything is designed to keep people from doing the right thing. You know, if you try to do the right thing, you're going to end up in trouble. So Mark was at somebody was working on one of these lights, and Mark starts talking to the guy. And the guy got so angry at him that whatever he had in his hand, he turned around and threw it at Mark. So Mark picks this thing up and went, oh, my God, it's a circuit board. Right? So, and he looks at it, you know, and he goes, oh, my God. He couldn't believe what he was seeing, because in this circuit board that was supposedly such a benign, you know, non-dangerous thing, he found an antenna array that is actually used in weapon systems.
Wow.
Because back in the 50s and 60s, they developed a weapon system which works with the concept of LIDAR. Now, we think that LIDAR is a new idea, you know, where the radar is in a plane and it's flying over the jungles of Mexico and the Central American countries. And as it's flying, it takes pictures with this special radar stuff that takes away the foliage. You know what I'm talking about? So that now, underneath all of this area that looked from the sky and on the ground as being just jungle, they've uncovered the Mayan civilization. Have you seen any of that, of what they've done?
Oh, I haven't. I'll have to look.
Oh, my God. You're going to be so stunned. Mm-hmm. Because instead of, you know, small, isolated cities that they thought, the entire area under that jungle canopy is a Mayan civilization. There were millions and millions of people. It was so highly expansive in the roads. It was amazing. They're all freaking out because nobody ever imagined what's underneath there. There's History Channel's doing work with this. I highly recommend everybody that's listening to me go look this stuff up, because it'll show you that there, you know, we think we know everything. Well, guess again. But back to the LIDAR. The LIDAR was known as a way of being able to look through a war battle zone and take out the foliage. So somebody is got a rifle there pointed at you on the other side. He's not hidden anymore. You can see him.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Nice.
But more importantly, you can fire essentially a LIDAR right into their eyes and blind them.
Mm-hmm.
And so these weapons were already developed, you know, back in the Korean War. So this is what this one little, it's a forensic, they consider it forensic evidence because this type of thing has nothing to do with communications.
Right.
It's a scanner. It just keeps scanning. It's a weapon. It's part of a weapon system. But the whole of the 5G is actually a weapon system. I'll tell you, the best way to understand this, okay, I have one of my fans who's been listening to all my crazy stories. I tell a lot of crazy stories, and most of them come true. Well, pretty near all of them come true. But when I got to the 5G, it's going to kill you. I'm going to tell you it's going to kill the planet because it's going to kill the microorganisms of the soil. It's going to kill all the vegetation. It's going to kill all the small animals, your rodents, everybody thinks, let's get rid of the bugs, you know. Well, no, the bugs, if you lose the bugs, you're going to lose everything. And 4G itself has caused, see, we look at the bees and we say, oh my God, the bees are going away. Well, the only reason you know that the bees are disappearing is because people make hives and they get the honey out of the bees and they count the bees and they see that they're flying away in the morning and never getting back to the hive.
Mm-hmm.
It's called colony collapse disorder. What's that about? What's causing that? Well, you see a correlation between colony collapse disorder and the proliferation of the telecommunication systems. So if you're seeing this and, you know, you go, well, they put in the Wi-Fi and now the bees, you're not counting the amount of bugs that are actually gone. And when they finally started to realize that, and it, you know how they found, you know what happened? Some people, they were driving through the country and they didn't get bugs on their windshield. And they were scientists. And they said, why aren't there any bugs on the windshield? And so they started up a program in Germany, was the biggest, and it's unfortunately not much has been done since they did it. But they took volunteers who put like essentially nets on their cars to capture bugs, to get a count of how many bugs are there. And when they finished this really impressive research project, it was determined that in Germany, 75% of the biomass of the insects was already gone.
Okay? Wow.
75%. And worldwide, where they've taken been able in some way or another to kind of figure this out, any place you have a population that's got Wi-Fi, you've got a tremendous decrease in the bugs. If you lose the bugs and you lose the microorganisms, the plants aren't going to grow. You lose the bugs, everything above them that eats on the bugs, and the things, what do they call it, the tree of life or whatever, you know, that continual, it all collapses. And if you read the people who are the ones that understand this, one of them flat out said, I'm just going to go home and I'm going to love my family because there's nothing we can do.
Wow.
You know, and the estimate is that at the continued rate of collapse of the insects, 4 years after they're gone, we're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
And if you want to get absolutely totally freaked out, you know, it's the sixth extinction event. It's so dire, it's so critical, and it's so time critical in that we've got to move and we've got to move now. So I didn't know about that when I started the bee thing, but I started yelling to beekeepers, please contact me. I think that shungite will help with the collapse disorder because I think it's electromagnetic, and I know that shungite protects from bioelectromagnetic waves. So if we can figure a way of them to be able to get it on them like powder, we were already into the powder by then, then they're flying with shungite protection. Well, Derek Condit, who you've had on the show, he heard me on radio, and he was a beekeeper. It was only his second year that he was starting it, but he put three nuggets on his hive, and he's told the story what happened. It was like all of a sudden he never lost. We've gone through 2 years now. We've never lost a bee to colony collapse. We've never lost a bee to disease or mites. All the things that kill them hasn't happened because they're protected with the shungite. So what it taught us that, first off, shungite is working. Okay, it does do what we're saying it's doing. The bees know it. They certainly aren't listening to me or Derek. You know, they're just reacting to it. And some of the weird things they do is, like, when you put on anything that gets on the outside of a hive that they don't want, they just get rid of it. But with shungite, when they get it, they actually use propolis to glue it down to the hive so they won't lose those nuggets. And then as they go into the hive, they rub up against them, and as they leave the hive, they do the same thing. So that at the end of the season, which was only 11 weeks, the shungite nuggets themselves were contoured like little mountains. Right?
Wow.
And then when he would put a little, tiny little tray thing, like for a silver dollar plastic thing, with the powder, they walk through the powder. And somebody put a video of the shungite with the nuggets, the shungite nuggets and the powder on a hive. And I didn't realize this. This is one of the Australian hives because they're duplicating the shungite research in all of the world.
Wonderful.
And this was a video from Australia. But one of these bees got into that powder, and I swear to God, it was like it was taking a bath in it. You know, it was rolling around in it, and I'm going like, my God, this bee is really into this powder. So when they go into the hive, see what happens is that the shungite powder, just like pollen, when a bee takes off and is flying through the air, it develops a positive charge. When it gets near the flower, and you can actually see this in slow motion, as they're approaching the flower, they don't actually touch that flower before they start getting the pollen. The pollen is attracted to the positive charge on the bee, so it kind of leaves the negative charged plant for the bee. And the same thing seems to happen with the powder of the shungite being in a negative framework, whereas their bodies are positive, because you can see the powder adhering to their, just like it is like pollen.
Right.
Okay, so they're carrying it the same way, and they're wearing it, and then they kind of dump it off, you know, into the ground and stuff as they're flying. And so we knew that he went from, 11 weeks, he went from 50,000 bees to over a million bees. Half a million he captured again, so now he went from 2 hives to 8 hives at the highest.
Wow.
But half a million went into the environ. And what happened then was the next year he started working with me on Cosmic Reality, and he really couldn't keep up like he did the year before, catching all the swarming bees because they're reproducing at an extraordinary rate. And they all flew out into the area, you know, the location that he lives in, Darrington, Washington. And he had just moved there. That was part of why he couldn't keep up with it, because they had moved from the first apiary to the second apiary in February. Mm-hmm. So all these bees went out into the local environment, and the locals, knowing that he and his wife Maureen didn't really know his first year there, they kept saying to him, you know, we don't want you to think that we always have these flowers. We don't know why there's so many flowers, and we don't know why there's so many vegetables and fruit. And you know, when Derek would look at him and he'd go, I know, and to himself, you know, it's the shungite and the bees. All the bees had gone out and pollinated and threw shungite all over the place. So we found out that you can we found out what it's like when the bees come back, let's put it that way. And that it happens so fast. So we know we can turn everything around where we're at now at the 4G level. But the 5G level, what it's designed to do. Now, okay, let's assume that it was for communications. So you've got a communication system right now where you got these towers. And the towers have the antennas that are sending out a signal. Now, if there's not anything between the next tower, that signal is 20 miles. So from one tower to another tower, you have a signal that travels 20 miles. In congested areas and areas that they're using a lot of the bandwidth, you'll see closer, they're closer, but 20 miles is the actual distance, the length of the signal. You know, goes through a cycle and it starts a second, 20 miles. Well, this new stuff, the cycle is, they keep changing it. It started out at 500 feet, then it went up to 800 feet, and now it's back down to 500 feet. But every 500 to 800 feet, you're going to have an antenna system. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means in a square mile in a neighborhood, you're going to have like 200 of these antenna systems. Mm-hmm. And that means that out of three good-sized lots, one of them is going to have an antenna system right outside their house.
Yep.
And this antenna system is working in the millimeter, which is like microwave, but microwave is even a little bigger than the millimeters. But what in order for this to work, they take and they have what they call an antenna array. And so there are like micro antennas in this system. So the signals are all, you got all these little signals that then are focused in together in order to put out a power source that, okay, the standard, okay, they've tested this particular signal. And when you look at the standards, what they've got, okay, the standard at which you, okay, there's a standard for autism, a standard for birth defects, there's a standard for really problematic health things, and then there's a standard for DNA. And at that standard, you know that you've got DNA is being broken down at the mitochondrial aspect of it. So you've got that situation occurring. The standards set by the FCC is 100 times above that.
Jeez.
Now, that's insane. You see, the more you look into the 5G thing, the more insane it gets.
Oh,
it doesn't make any sense. It's not for telecommunications. And why would you spend, what did they say it was? Oh, my God, it's trillions of dollars on this system, $20 trillion or something estimated for this whole system. Why would you spend that money when you've got a telecommunications system that's doing fine?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
exactly.
On my computer here, I've got a radio station. I send out a signal in the one computer, and it goes all the way to France, and then it comes back to this computer out the player, and it's 20 seconds. How much faster do I need it?
Right. You know,
it's all BS. But it's all for control. So the standards are, they've broken all sorts of rules and regulations and all sorts of laws, both at the local level and, you know, the Tom Wheeler of the FCC got out there and he said, we don't care what the standards are. We don't care what the health effects are. We're going to be the, you know, and you go, wait a minute, you don't care? The guys that are the head of AT&T, Verizon, and Sprint, they're before a Senate committee. And the senator that's quizzing them said, look, you got a paper here that says that you have to look, you have not looked at the health dangers from your technology. It was one of their own papers. And that you had to do that. I want to know how much money did you spend on this research? And they hemmed and they hawed and they looked like absolute idiots. And none. They have spent no money testing their own systems for the dangers of it. While scientists all over the world, and I'm talking about tens of thousands of them, are saying, these things are going to kill you.
Mm-hmm. Reckless as all hell.
Well,
honestly.
Yeah. But why? Why would you do this? Why would you start it up in Gateshead so that everybody can see that exactly what I said and Mark said was going to happen, happened? Why would you do this? Because Agenda 21 failed, Solaris. Because you know what Agenda 21 was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so nobody bought into it because they wanted us all in the cities. Then you could control them much easier.
Right.
Right? So, but nobody agreed to it. No, we're not going to do this. This is insane. So now, because that agenda failed them, now they've got to get out this super duper, stupid. Obviously, Dr. Pala said that it was the stupidest thing humankind had ever done was 5G. He's a noted scientist. So you got a situation where they have gone too far. And what's happening is it's becoming a focus for a massive evolution in the way that humanity thinks about itself.
Right.
Because you can't explain why you're doing this other than to kill us, because that's what that's what happens.
It seems to me like people are they're getting kind of scrambled already. So if they're already deploying the 5G, then that's just going to accentuate that, in my opinion. I was going to ask you, is there a way to put Shungite on those antennas?
No.
You can't. Okay. Wondering.
First off, even if I had a device that I could make with Shungite, I wouldn't give it to you. Because, so you saved yourself. You didn't save the microorganisms. You didn't save the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's not where the game is. The game is stopping it. We've got to absolutely stop it. Now, what I highly recommend, because I started to tell you this fan of mine, when I got, and I was telling him, the things I'm telling you guys, and that it's a death trip, I call it the death march, the 5G death march. And he absolutely balked. He couldn't, I had gone too far. I'm not going to believe this. She's crazy. I know she's crazy. And then he saw a movie. Now, obviously, again, this is synchronicity, this is timing, this is just such an amazing set of events that occurred just in this last, week. A documentary came out on YouTube, and it's called 5G Apocalypse, Extinction Event. And it is extremely well done. Very, very professional. No, dog. I'm sure it's only a raccoon. Crazy person.
Like my dog.
Let's see, that you threw a question in front of me.
Oh, that's okay. We can get that later. I just wanted to put it in here so I don't forget.
I know.
It's from chat.
Yeah, but when I see these things, my mind, I see I'm...
Oh,
I'm,
sorry.
No, it's funny, because my co-hosts know this, Please don't say anything to her, because I sound like, I have a great deal, a good grasp of factual things, but it's the way my mind works. I absolutely focus on something. But as soon as I focus on that, I can't remember what I was doing.
Oh, okay.
I'm not dual tasker. I do things one thing at a time. Right. But I don't dual task at all. So, we were talking about 5G and we were talking, we were talking about the documentary. So this fan of mine, when he saw that movie, he came and he posted on Facebook. He said, "I didn't believe you." He said, "But now I do." And I highly recommend that every one of you look at that movie. It's called 5G at Popcalypse Now. You can go to my radio station. And we set up a new radio, a new website, and a new radio station. It's called, the website is called 5G-KNOW, KNOW.com.
Oh, nice.
Okay. And this is with Michael Henry Dunn. I don't know if you know him. But he is with myself. He talked me into this. I didn't want to be this active in this particular question. I can save 4G, 5G is another question. You guys got to do it. So the 5G situation is one where there is a lot of noise. We don't know what's true or not true. And so he wanted to put a website together with people who were professionally capable of making statements regarding some of the information that's coming out. And we set it up so that once a week on Thursdays at noontime, we do a radio show, a live radio show. And we only started this up like a month ago. So we see this documentary and we do a show on it. We just talk about it and what they're saying and, blah, blah. And then he gets a hold of the guy that did it. His name is Sasha Stone. And Sasha just happened to be in California. He's from England. And so we scheduled to have a a radio show recorded. We recorded it because of the timing thing, because he wanted Mark on there. I already knew Mark. He wanted Mark Steele on there too. So I called Mark. Mark, you want to do it? Yeah. So we get together and we do the show. And I learned so much from these guys in this particular show. But what happened was that Sasha, who has got credentials up the Gahooza in Europe regarding activism for all sorts of different things, and particularly, you know, it's basically, let's go back to the biosphere and take care of her. Let's claim dominion over the planet and do it right. That's where he's coming from. And Mark heard about him and took this device that had gotten thrown at him, the forensic evidence. And he opens it up and he's showing Sasha, he says, look at, and he explains exactly what this thing does, what it's for. It's not for telecommunications at all. It's hidden in the telecommunications, but it's really a control mechanism, a very dangerous one. And it so motivated Sasha that 5 months later, he put out this documentary. And if you look at this, if you watch this, you will learn in a, oh, it's so sweet the way he does it, because he uses clips from people that are scientists who are saying, look it, this is what it does, ba-da-da-da-da, it kills, okay? Mm-hmm. And then you're listening to the head of the telecommunications community going, oh, I don't know, do we spend any money on health? Oh, sounding like idiots. You know, and it just sort of like rips apart your conceived reality of what's real. Because the people that are supposed to be in charge, I'm sorry, they're getting more cartoon-like all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, truly.
You know?
I agree.
And yeah. There is a tremendous movement all over the place at the grassroots. And something else that Sasha told me that I thought was just amazing. He said that we in America don't understand how pervasive the yellow vest movement is in Europe. That we only see a little tinge of what's really happening there. So from somebody that's been in that arena for so long as he has, to see real hope and real change possible, you know, it's motivating to all of us. And, so what we got here is we got the bees were in a totally, I mean, you talk about not having a placebo effect. I mean, the bees didn't know anything about this. And to see what happened to not just Derek's bees, but bees all over the world now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Are going through the same thing. We know that that's what's killing them is the Wi-Fi or the toxins, because it takes the toxins and radiation out of the equation too. But the fact that they don't have the collapse, the colony collapse, because anybody that's really studied them, we all came to the same conclusion, it's Wi-Fi, because they lose their navigational capabilities. They go wonkers because they're not in the Earth's bioelectromagnetic field, just like they went bonkers as cosmonauts.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
because
it's
because they're artificially now is what they're in, not the Earth one. And so they just go bonkers. And they actually did a very interesting, they took cell phones. And when a bee has a cell phone and it's radiating, it's on, okay, they become very aggressive towards it. And then they start putting out, what do they call it? It's a weird little, it's a sound that the bees make when they're about to swarm. Beeping or peeping. I think they call it bee peeping, which is a weird thing. But it's a sound that you hear when they're about to swarm. And swarming is when the population kind of splits. Half of the population goes with a new queen to set up a new hive. And when that, you'll see the bees flying in a mass, and then you'll see the bee ball. That's all part of the swarming thing. And so what happens is when they're in the cell phone energy, they start that same sound up, and they try to get away from the cell phone, basically. But they do it as if, what did somebody say? It was, not bizarre, but it was like, like they're crazy, like they're completely disoriented, you know. And so if you see that from a cell phone, well, they're encountering it from the Wi-Fi signals just in the air. But if they're flying with shungite, then that stuff is negated and they get home all right.
Mm-hmm.
So shungite, you know, shungite taught us about how we can help. As far as the 5G, no, you can't turn it on. You turn it on and it's, no. But it's a system. And again, it sounds real big and bad and awful. But, you know, there's a whole lot. We got 7 billion people. They got, you know, a few hundred.
Mm-hmm.
All we gotta do is come together.
And that's and educate happening. Everybody as well.
Educate, yeah. Yeah,
like and that's on, why I love having you on my show. Awesome.
Like on our website, we tell them, you know, like first off, I think it was Wilhelm Reich said that if you want to stop a movement, organize it. So, you know, we're not into the organization of any, you know, massive organization of Wi-Fi, you know, going against the 5G. We just want you to have the right information.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, once you've got the information, it's pretty... Well, okay, so what they're doing over there in England is that they're actually confronting everybody that has anything to do with the installation of 5G. And they're essentially giving them a legal document that says 5G is going to kill you. And you have been warned. Right now what you're doing is because of your ignorance. But you have now... past that threshold, should you continue to install this equipment, you will be found personally liable and can be brought up on manslaughter or murder charges.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're doing. They are going to the individuals at every level and making them personally accountable.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent.
Isn't it? I mean, I was like, oh, that should work. Because they need an excuse. You know, they're not gonna stand. The guy that Mark is talking to that's on the telephone pole, you know, he's not gonna go back to his bosses and say, you gotta stop this because it's gonna, no, he's gonna keep his mouth shut. He doesn't want anybody telling him that what he's doing is bad. Mm-hmm. Right? But there's a point where you know it, and now you have an excuse. I can't do this because they're gonna bring me up on murder charges. All we need to do is give them an excuse for the whole system to fall apart. So it's not a big fix, but it's got to be done. And the only way we do it is for not just the people that are building these things, but the people that are seeing them built no better. We all are personally responsible for this.
Mm-hmm. Right. Do something about it, no doubt. And I want to make sure before we get too wrapped up in other conversations to answer a couple of questions from the chat.
Absolutely.
And, this one is the one I was just posted, but it was when you discuss new cosmic silver shungite, how is the new cosmic gold shungite different? Also, what are the pendants, the structured shungite pendants? Thank you. That's
okay. Okay, let's just go run down through the different ones. We've got the raw nugget that's got the and it's copper wire that's got enamel coloring. Okay, that's the first one. What that does is it balances your bioelectromagnetic field, and it's the raw shungite is much better than like Elite for doing that. It's just the frequency. It's a frequency that is more compatible with your physical 3D body. Then we have what we call S4 resin pendants, and that's where we realize that for lots of reasons, the smaller you get in shungite, in other words, I have a 5-pound brick in one hand and I've got a pinch of powder in the other hand, the powder is going to be more energetic than that brick. So we knew that powder was really the best way of optimizing the power of shungite. So we took resin, which is liquid plastic, and we put the powder in there. And that became the concept of that kind of a pendant. But in that pendant, we have what's called S4 shungite. And when you've got raw shungite all by itself, the door to the quantum pulses. It opens and closes, opens and closes. When you've got the situation where there's silver saturated shungite, which is what happens when you take shungite nuggets or shungite powder and you put them in. You alright, dog? What's the matter? If you put shungite powder or shungite nuggets in colloidal silver, the silver is drawn into the shungite. And when the shungite is what I call saturated with the silver, the door to the quantum stays open. There isn't a pulse. And that became critical because we were using the raw powder in order to put on the cell phones, and I could detect a change in the cell phones, but there was still something bothering me. And when we discovered this thing about the silver connection, what it was that the Wi-Fi signal, compared to an electric signal, which is a simple signal, it's like an up and down, but the Wi-Fi signal, if you were to look at it, it's actually called a square signal. It would, on a chart, it would look like a square. Instead of round up and downs, it would be square. And it's a more complicated signal. So with the pulsing, it would hit that Wi-Fi signal and start to attenuate it, but then it would bounce back because the door would shut. So with the silver, it stays open and it boom, boom, boom. It just blows causes the attenuation of a Wi-Fi signal. So when we understood the power of the saturated shungite, we started using it in the pendants that had the powder in it, and we started adding it to it. So it's a more, let's say, it's a quicker fix to signals that are coming into you. So when you're out in the real world and you're getting hit with these terrible signals, okay, that resin with the S4 powder, the S4 being the critical element, turns the Wi-Fi quicker. It's a better protection against these Wi-Fi signals. But you're still getting unnatural energy. And so you almost need a combination of the resin pendant with the wire wrap to get your electromagnetic body, keep that stable. And then when Walt, initially, I didn't trust the powder from Russia. If I can't test it, I don't trust it. So, I was making poor Walter take bricks of shungite and make it into powder. And, he got tired of this. He never said how difficult it was. So one day he takes a bunch of nuggets and puts them in a tumbler just to see if he can bust them up enough in the powder, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you don't want grit in there like you would if you were just tumbling something. So he puts a bunch of metal stuff in there. I guess I don't even know what he put in there. But he started pounding these things. Well, as it's getting pounded, okay, as it's going through there, an odd thing happened, and it's like I can see molecularly, okay? So he sends me this stuff, and I'm looking at it. I'm going like, all the fullerenes have lined up. And this is called structured, okay? Why is water called structured water? Because the molecules are spinning and lined up. It's how the energy all starts to just make a pattern, you know, like patterns. And the same thing was happening with the shungite. So Derek, I guess to outdo Walter, he decides he's going to throw silver in the tumbler. He's not going to put just metal in there. He's going to throw $1,000 worth of silver in the tumbler with these things. And so, blah, 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 and we knew by now that to get the structure, you had to do it for 3 days. So he's tumbling these things in this pure 99%, $1,000 worth of silver, and he comes out with these things that we call silver, cosmic silver, you know, because it's silver saturated, but it's also one where it's what we call structured. So you've got this super duper thingy. And then when you put the wrap on it, the wire on it, they're very expensive, you know, but you only need one.
Yeah.
You know, you only need one, and you're totally, completely protected. I mean, I have access to anything I want, and I've only got one silver on me.
Nice.
And I used to wear more than that. So, yeah, the silver saturated. And, yes, we tell everybody exactly how they can make it. We don't tell them things that I consider proprietary. You know, people say to me, well, the silver saturate, and I said, well, you can get silver saturate, just take some shungite and throw it into colloidal silver. I said, but if you want S4 silver saturated, that's a different story altogether, because that is silver saturated shungite by Walt Silva.
That's right.
And always with shungite, it's the people. Who's handling that is important as where you got it.
So true. Know?
And
so true. Yeah.
So, you know, I can't call Walter.
Well, tell Walter I said hi. I haven't talked to him in a long, long time.
Yeah. I will. Yeah.
And we have another question here from Jerry B. Can shungite help prevent damage to the eyes when viewing a computer screen for long periods of time?
Well, the very first thing I'm going to tell you to do is use eye moisturizers. That's what causes the damage to the eye in many times. I mean, keep the moisturizer. Keep your eyes moistured. Put the drops in it. That's going to help. Shungite has amazing healing results. But it's not the shungite working at the 3D level. It's the shungite balancing your bioelectromagnetic fields, because that's the blueprint of your physical body. So if you've got eyes that are bothering you, you've got some kind of a problem with them, shungite will help you mitigate that problem, but it's really your focus. You're saying to the shungite and to your own thinking, I really don't want to have problems with my eyes. You know, please, healthy eyes. And you don't have to get into details with any healing modality. Best you don't get into details, because you won't get it as well, as nicely as the universe can deliver. So just say, healing eyes, you know. And because you're just doing that, you are engaging your own mind in the healing, the placebo effect that works 75% of the time. Why aren't you looking at the placebo effect instead of the drugs? I mean, we live into an insane place. But it's the same thing. You know, it's your mind, and the shungite intensifies the manifestation capabilities of your own thoughts.
Yep, great answer right there. Now, I want to thank everybody in chat, by the way. I know SJ1 is posting a lot of really good information for you about the 5G-no.com. So this is a promotion there. A lot of good stuff. A lot of support there in the chat room.
Good. Yeah. In fact, you've got to get engaged in the 5G. I wish I could say it differently, you know, but your life depends on it. And if you, well, see, every time Mark puts up a YouTube, they take it down.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But he had some YouTubes up there where he was driving through this area of Gateshead, where they got the 5G, you know, and the trees are dead. I sort of got in the back car when he did it, in the back seat, and there's no microorganisms, there's nothing. It was like a dead zone, and you'd feel life in the houses, but it was low-level life. I mean, even the people are deteriorating. And this is what you're going to have, you know, like, every third house is going to have an antenna system that is cooking everything alive in front of it, including you.
Exactly.
It's insane.
You know, is it already being deployed, Nancy? It seems to me like they've already discreetly been deploying a lot of this stuff.
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, Derek took a 4,200-mile trip. It was a circle from Washington down through Arizona and back up through California again. And the whole way, he was throwing out shungite out the window.
Oh, was he?
He made the biggest shungite grid that we know of, 4,200 miles. But unfortunately, he was on highways that already had the 5G system in it. He said, you know, he'd see this weird little thing, and then he realized, oh my God, I'm seeing these. And then he realized how close together they were, and then he's going like, I think I'm seeing 5G antennas. And then we checked it, and he was. And they were the whole route. So what they did was, they didn't try to get them into the cities initially. They put them in all the rural areas where nobody was paying attention. So a good portion of the system is already up. But remember, it is a system. You can stop it anywhere.
Right.
You know, go, if you go down, get, find out, make your local, because it's got to be done, you know, virtually right now, initially, city by city, because the, government, the federal government has made it, mandatory that nothing stop a telecommunications company from doing what it wants. But, so there's a state mandate. If they want to come in here and put it on my property, I've got nothing to say about it. If they want to put it on my property, my government, my city government has nothing to say about it. But the permitting is where they got them. Because they can force permitting, you know, so it slows them down, it stops them, and sometimes they can completely stop it. But the permitting, that's the first level of legal action that they can take. But the reality is that it's got to, forget about the federal government. You've got to do it county by county, state by state. And it's not, you don't have to go to war. We're too strong. We don't need to war. We're too strong. We've got every single scientific backup to what we're saying. And they've got nothing except, well, yeah, we're going to kill you.
Yeah, exactly.
Sad, sad.
Yeah, well said. I'll tell you what, and we're just about out of time. We have a few minutes here, plus or minus. But you are writing a book. I don't know if you want to start talking about that yet or not, or at some point you'll be writing a book.
Oh no, everybody knows I'm writing a book.
Okay, great, excellent.
You know, okay. It's like, yes, I'm writing the book. Yeah, I'm writing a book on Shungite. Basically, what I just told you is probably in the first three chapters of it.
Sweet.
You know,
very good.
I mean, it's. But again, an interesting thing is that the Russians themselves have, see, I made statements that I really had no proof of, but as we, but we would develop products and then we would test them out and then we would say, yeah, they're working, and then we would put them in the store and sell them. And when we started getting scientific back, you know, back saying that, like blood work, we had did blood work, we did, thermography pictures, and we started to see that, yes, actually what we were saying was happening was happening. And Walt said to me, he said, you know what else it proves? And I said, what? And he said, it proves you're right. That what you're energetically feeling, you're right about, you know? So I've had some, you know, I mean, I, in many ways, I, between Walt and myself, I mean, Walt's a scientist. I just sort of see things and then he explains what they are. We developed this really interesting science about Shungite. Well, I kept saying, well, if we're wrong, the scientists are going to come after us, right? No, in fact, scientists are coming out of the woodwork saying, you are right. And it's plasma, and they go into this, you know, it's like one scientist was talking about particle physics, and I'm going like, okay. Fusion physics, I'm going, I don't, all I do is see it, you know. But the Russians have, I said the Russians know a lot more than they're letting on. And then the Russian scientists reached out to me. And so the book itself, the first section of the first chapter that I actually finished has already been translated into Russian. They have a publisher waiting for this book.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. Wow. That's interesting.
So
oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's, good I mean, contrast. I'm having a wonderful time. I see so many good things in the midst of just awful things. There's so many good things. It's almost like 5G is a catalyst to make us come together as a planet of human beings and family. Yeah,
I certainly appreciate the work you're doing, Nancy. I'll tell you what, it's off the charts. And I want to thank you so much for joining me tonight. It's been so long, and I hope to have you back soon because it's been too long.
Absolutely. Yeah. I so appreciate your work. I mean, you've been out there.
I appreciate you too. And, and also, let everybody know how to get to your website and anything else you want to mention real quick before we run out of time.
CosmicReality.net is the Shungite store. CosmicReality.com is the radio station. Go to Shungite Reality Facebook group. A lot of information comes over that. And then Radio 5G, which is associated with 5G-KNOW.com. And also, please look at the movie 5G Apocalypse Extinction.
Excellent. All right. And thank you so much. We're just about out of time. The music's playing right now. So thank you, Nancy. And stay tuned for Shiny Side Out with David Dunger and Becky coming up next to sell you on tonight from Down Under with their wonderful show. I believe they're talking about giants tonight. I do want to thank everybody for listening and also the chat room. Everybody's been great. All right. And thank you, Nancy, again. It's been wonderful to have you on.
Be safe, everybody. Thank you.
Me too. Yeah. Thank you, everybody. Night.
Okie dokie. So I told you I was good. Sometimes, you know, I listen to myself and I go, wow. You know, it's even when I write, I go back and I read something I wrote and I go, wow. You know, I don't know what that creative thing is, you know, where it's there, it's part of you, you just need to flow with it. But it all hinges on our ability to get out of the way of what's happening and let ourselves just be authentic, go with whatever is happening. And I love it when I see myself like that. Solaris is special, and she has another show. That one was on Saturday at midnight on Revolution Radio. And the people at Revolution Radio are very special to me because in 2014, when I started to talk about Shungite, it was not only on Wolf Spirit Radio, which was where I was mostly active, but it was also getting on with JP on Revolution Radio, his show there, Journeys with JP. And the Revolution Radio hosts, really, a lot of their listeners, but even the hosts, began to experiment with the Shungite. And back then, I mean, you know, nobody knew what it was. I'm talking about it. Jay's talking about it. But, you know, it was, but they listened. They listened to us. And then they found out that, by gosh, it looks like this stuff might be really happening. And as soon as they knew that, then they jumped on board and essentially promoted the Shungite store and the website by just talking about it. And that was what started everything going. So I have a deep admiration for that station. And they have just, I think it's probably the biggest station out there. Good people, good listeners, been around for a very long time. So I'm hoping that Derek is going to be better. We had so many, the Shungite Reality, and go to the Facebook group Shungite Reality. There are so many people coming to that. Many of them new to Shungite. And one of the things that we have to kind of be aware of is that this show is an example of it. We're talking all sorts of subjects within the context of the story about Shungite. I was talking to Michael Henry Dunn, my co-host on Wednesday at noon, the Radio 5G show, yesterday. And in the middle of being on Skype with him, he says to me, wow, Notre Dame is burning. And so we left we were talking about what we were going to do on Wednesday. And so we leave this conversation and we start to look and see what was happening. And of course, we all know probably what happened. It fairly well burnt to the ground. Well, right now what I know is that the roof burnt to the ground. The building is probably still there. It was mostly stone. But the point is here that, and there's other synchronicities I'm not going to get into, but the point is that as I'm talking to Michael about this, he has knowledge that I certainly didn't about the building itself, about all of the, not all, but a number of the players, and it was just fascinating, absolutely fascinating. But he's tying it back to the Knights Templar. It's like everything has a connection to everything else. And that includes the concept of Shungite and 4G and 5G and the Knight Templars and the burning of a building. You know, it's like the more we know, the more we can see how everything that happens causes ripples in reality. So we finally got back to the subject of you know, where are we going with Wednesday's show, and we decided that we were going to actually address the history of the church, and I don't even know where Michael's going to take it. But I highly recommend that you listen to the show tomorrow or in the archives or on YouTube, because I think it will be very, I was mesmerized by him talking. So, you know, do that for yourselves. I think it's something that you'll find very, very interesting. And we also will be talking 5G, some of the amazing things that are happening regarding that. But back to the 5G. One of the things that I want to advise us to be very careful of is losing sight of what is really happening. 5G, we need to stop it. Period. Stop it. Okay? But once we stop 5G, that's just for skirmish. We've got to turn it all around. 4G by itself is going to kill us. It just wasn't killing us fast enough. Is going to kill the biosphere. The bees are now on the endangered species list. And that's because we count bees. We make honey from them. We know how many bees we got. We can see they're dying. They're not getting back. Where they go? What? Yeah. Okay? But we're not able to do that with all the rest of the insects. So, boom, you have a tremendous, tremendous threat that nobody's talking about. My hope is that the 5G, because it's so blatantly stupid and the purpose is so blatantly there, that maybe it will be a real wake-up call so that you'll then find people who are open to listening to the fact that, well, 4G was killing you, just slower. We can't just think 5G, because there is so many good things that are happening with 5G. Yes, the federal government told us that we couldn't sue the telecommunications. The insurance companies have taken away any ability to get health help from insurance if you've got it associated with Wi-Fi. The towns have been told that they can't stop the spread of this Wi-Fi. All of these federal laws are blanket laws to essentially force state and local governments to do the bidding of this corporate giant. But the reality of law is there's always another law. So bit by bit, the cities, the counties, the nations, now nations are doing this. You know, Brussels, the city of Brussels has said no. And it only takes one person that has the wherewithal to say, hey, this is crazy, no, in a position of power. So right now we've got so many good things happening. I don't want you to lose your focus. This is a skirmish. We can win this, but beyond that is much bigger. And so that's why we keep going with, you know, the basics of 4G, 5G, the basics of what shungite can and can't do, the basics of we count the bees, but what's happening to the rest of the insect world? Well, 75% of it's gone around Wi-Fi. And if that goes, it starts to crash everything. Oh, the planet will survive. But we won't, as in a society like we think we're in now. But there's even more to it. It's so much darker and so much more black than what we're presenting. We can't walk away because, oh, well, somebody else is paying attention. No, you have no excuse in this fight. Every single one of us has got to stand up and say no. And you... you know, yes, I want you to be active. When I first wrote Cosmic Reality, I said you don't have to be active. You can sit in your house and you can put these thoughts out and you're going to affect the subconscious. That's absolutely true, and it's still true. But right now we need something more. We need to stand up as a family of humankind against a small group of people that have manipulated us into thinking that we're different from anybody else. The basics of life are the same for all of us. And we definitely have to look and protect it. So I'm running out of time. I thank you so very much. Thank you, Solaris. Thank you, Revolution. And everybody out there, please be safe. Be blessed. Pay attention. Learn as much as you can. And then be as active as you can. I'll see you later. We're on Cosmic Reality Radio tonight. 6 to 8. Be safe, everybody. Be blessed.
You have been listening to the Shungite Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio and simulcasted over Haggy Shack Radio. Just a young gun with a quick fuse.